This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It is Tuesday, it's the 30th of April 2024. Coming up today, a review of the Ray-Ban Meta AI features. And I need to apologize to Apple users everywhere.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show.
Sorry, Rob.
Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Sorry, Sean Preece. I'm apologising to everybody today.
What, individually? One at a time?
Yes.
We could be here for a while, Stephen Scott. Why, what have you done this time?
So you might have got a message on your iPhone or maybe on your Mac over the weekend.
Oh, yes.
And it was suggesting, and I know we didn't talk about this yesterday, but it's important to bring it up today. I was a bit embarrassed, if I'm honest, about the whole thing.
Yeah.
A bit sheepish about it. So you might have got a message on your iPhone or maybe on your Mac that said you have to log out of your device, reset your password, and log back in. You know, create a new password and go through this whole palaver.
Yes, kerfuffle.
Great word.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get back into your account.
Yeah.
I think I may be responsible for this.
Oh, okay. Because it's very interesting. Yes, many, many Apple users were thrown out of their accounts or asked to log out of their account. And there's no actual explanation as far as I can tell right now. But you're saying it's because of you.
I think, well, I don't know. But then don't know is pretty much Double Tap's middle name.
Yes.
And I don't know, but I think I may be responsible. I'll tell you why, because I set up my little MacBook Air, my 11-inch, my favourite of all the MacBook Airs.
When you say you set it up, I mean, what, for the 100th time, you're always setting that thing up.
I say set up. I turned it on, but I did a software update. There was a software update for it, and it said, put in your password, sign in. So I did. I signed into my account and it said some features are not functioning properly. So you have to log out and log back in again. So I did. And then I got these messages on my other Mac, on my Mac Mini, saying some iCloud features are not syncing properly. And I thought, that'll be fine. As you do, right? Because you just think, well, you know, what's going to go wrong? Yeah. I mean, that alongside my 237 compromised passwords in my passport app.
I'll get to
it'll
it.
It'll be absolutely fine. It's just probably a little warning, you know, a little nudge to say you probably should change the password. So anyway, end result was, I ignored it. And then this happened at the weekend. And I thought, maybe I've triggered something at Apple.
What, worldwide?
And they've had to reset. Yes, they've had to reset every single computer and phone on the planet. So I just want to say to the world,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Well, you're not forgiven, Stephen Scott. Please throw that Mac Air 2011 in the bin, will you? I mean, it's time to let it go, Stephen Scott.
Is it time just to get rid, is it?
You're always...
I must admit, I don't really know what I do with it,
to be tinkering.
Perfectly
honest. You're always tinkering with it. I know why, because it's a lovely form factor, but you know what?
Yeah.
Forget about it. You've got 1,000 other computers. It's fine. It's a really interesting story, this, though, because it's one of those stories where it's Apple, and you just don't expect it, right? What's going on here? Is this a data breach? Is this just a server downtime issue? Honestly, right now, I don't know, but... anything like this from Apple, it's always a bit of a shock.
Yeah, because, and not to say it's because, it just works, but, you know, it kind of always does. And, you know, generally you don't get, from any provider, you don't just get a global password reset sent out. That's not
well,
something
you say
that's
global,
usual.
No, you're right, as in it's affected many different countries, but I didn't have any problems whatsoever. It's strange, right?
Oh, you're saying I'm a liar. You're saying the millions of people are lying. You're saying that it's not my fault.
I'm not saying anyone's a liar, Stephen Scott. I'm just saying it's not everyone that's affected. That's all.
It's funny though, right? It's so true. When something doesn't happen to you, you don't care. You genuinely don't
care.
It's
no.
Like, you know, all these people that say, oh, it's a tragedy, what a terrible thing. But then they just go on about their lives, whatever it is, right?
Yep.
But when it comes to this kind of thing, you read about it and you go, oh, well, it hasn't affected me. I'll go up and check my Mac. And you come in and there's a big alert on it saying, you must sign out of your account immediately. It's like, oh, I'm going to take to Twitter immediately and tell the world.
I'm going to sue.
This has happened to me.
Well, hang
I
on.
Included.
So what was the procedure then? Did you have to reset your password and create a new one?
Yeah, so you had to sign in using the old password,
right?
And then it would ask you to create a new password And that was it, really. You just signed back in. Now, you had an option once you did that. I did it on the phone. You could do it on the Mac as well, I guess. But I did it on the phone for ease. And it was also the first device to actually ask me to do it. And it gives you two options. It either says stay logged in on all your other devices or log out of everything else. Oh. So I chose the log out of everything else because I thought, well, why not, right? In case there is something dodgy here,
yeah,
I'll just log out of everything else.
It's always a mistake.
Then I forgot every single thing. Yeah, so I go to watch TV the other night, and it was like, there's no Apple TV, because Apple TV needs to sign in again. I was like, oh.
Nothing worse. Nothing worse than that. Exactly the same. You know what?
And that key, that remote control, well, or frankly, if Tim Cook would like it back, I will happily send it to him. I hate that Siri remote control. Yeah, I hate it.
You do know that if your iPhone is on the same Wi-Fi network, when you go into a text field, you get the keyboard pop up on your phone.
Sometimes, though. I don't always get it.
Oh, well, you're terrible. Time. What can I say? I'm so sorry. You're rubbish. Okay. Can I just say, isn't it about time passwords were done away with?
Yes.
It feels,
100% agree.
We've been waiting for so long. I know pass keys and pass phrases are coming through. It just seems to be taking so long. I can't wait. I mean, we got this cutting edge biometric security systems we carry around with us in our pockets all the time. And still we got to remember this, but let's be honest, the one password we use for everything. And anytime you've got to come up with a new password, it's an absolute, I can't think of anything. Oh, it's got to have a capital letter in it. Oh, it's got to have a symbol. Oh, it's got to be 15 characters long. It's such a nightmare. I know, first world problems, right? But yeah. I mean, it's about time we moved on. We got to get these pass keys going because it's such a good idea.
Yeah, and it is. It's so much easier just to deal with. I mean, I suppose if they manage to hack in using your biometrics, I don't really know what the option is. New hand? New face? What happens next, I suppose? At least if you forget your password, you can just change it. But, you know, it's a bit difficult. You've got to head down to the plastic surgeon every single time. You forget your face.
I mean, I suppose we're kind of there now, right? I've used Keychain. I have tried in the past lots of these password managers, and they're, you know, accessible to varying degrees and whatever. But it's always, okay, yes, it's available on this platform, but, you know, you mentioned the Apple TV. Good luck trying to, you know, get, I don't know, LastPass or whatever on your Apple TV. You want that universal thing. And it just seems like everything now should just be going back to the smartphone. Your smartphone is your universal key, basically. It should all go back to there. And the way that pass keys work, I suppose I should say, pass phrases, pass keys, whatever you want to call it, is basically it uses your Face ID or your Touch ID as your password. Simple as that. So it will go to your phone. It will ask you to, you know, unlock your phone with whatever, your face or your fingerprint. And that is your password now. It makes total sense to me, but it just seems so long before all these services, because every service needs to implement it separately. And come on, let's just get on with it. Passwords are so yesterday.
And especially when you're, I mean, the problem is when you're going across different devices, like you say, I mean, I use the Mac, I use the iPhone, so I'm living within Safari and the Keychain. What it does, though, is it kind of does tie you to Safari, not because, and you know, these people that start jumping up and down and saying, see, that's why Apple are being investigated by the DOJ, because you see they're holding you into, well, they're not really, because there are options, but it's certainly easier. It's certainly, for a lazy person like me, it is ideal because everything just lives inside Safari already has. I could have set the same thing up in Edge. I could have set up a LastPass account or a 1Password or whatever it might be. I chose not to at this point. But actually, looking forward, I think I'd rather do that because at least then I could use different browsers, different systems. When I go onto the PC, I just, oh, every time it's like, oh, yeah. I need to remember this password now and I've got to go and figure out what it is and, you know, guaranteed I've forgotten it. Or what's even worse is sometimes you forget to save it in your keychain. Oh, yeah. So therefore, it's not even in your keychain at all. You're just remembering it every time. Or it's remembering the password, but not the email address.
I've got the wrong password remembered in a couple of my keychain accounts.
Yes.
And I don't know why it doesn't update when I type in the new password to it. It's because usually it will say, oh, this is different to the one in keychain. Do you want to update it? But for some reason, there's some out there that just don't. But yeah, it's not great. I must say, though, that I am using Keychain in a minute, and there are extensions for Windows. I use Keychain in Edge and in Chrome. It's just, it's not quite as intuitive as it could be.
No, it's quite a difficult thing to navigate around from
memory. It is, yeah. You got to put in the PIN code or the security code each time you close the browser down and open it up again. Or at least you had to. I got to say, in-browser password managers are quite good, though. I'm just not quite sure just how secure they are. If someone had access to your actual machine, if they couldn't get hold of it. But there's no denying it's handy. There's a couple of services that I use where I have no idea what the password is. It's just in my Google Chrome browser. And if I try and log in anywhere else, I haven't a clue. So, it's just a bit of a mess, it seems, at the minute, passwords.
I do feel, as much as I want to get into the passkey thing, I'm a little bit nervous about it. Because I suppose part of me thinks, what if I get caught up in this and I then can't work my way back into it again. It feels like with a password, there's a way out, and I don't know how it works. I don't understand enough about passkeys to make the decision to say, right, let's move across. And do you have to do it en masse or is it one account at a time? How do you switch in an account? Like, can you just go into Amazon and say, change my password to be a passkey? And
yes,
it seems to me there's a lot of questions about how you would do this, and is it different each time?
Well, it is a little bit daunting because it's a new way of doing things. But, Amazon, for example, you can go into your account settings and set up a pass key instead of a password. It's all a bit new until it gets bedded in. But there's no denying it is the better way to do things, even if it's just for convenience, let alone... Even if we take the security aspect of it, if it just makes it more convenient, there's nothing worse than trying to remember a password, particularly if you're trying to type it in on like your Apple TV or whatever, a device without a keyboard, and you've got a 20-character key password with symbols. It can take you hours.
Yeah, I hated it. And I don't know, again, that keyboard... it just, between the keyboard, or not the keyboard, but the choice of entry, the way that you enter, which is basically across a line, the A to Z and the numbers and everything is all across one line when you're putting in a password.
Oh, I loved it.
On Apple
I thought
TV.
It was great.
Oh, it just takes so long, and you get one character wrong, you've got to go all the way to the other end to delete it, and then you accidentally hit it twice, and you think, hang on, how many characters did I delete? What character was I up to? And then you've got it. Oh, hate it. Absolutely hate it. I'm hoping that's something they address in the upcoming. I suppose they kind of did with, like you say, the keyboard input, but I have not had that. I can go into the Apple TV remote function and then do it from there. But the actual option to pop up and say, hey, do you want to do this? That seems to have stopped on my phone, at least. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I've culled my notifications and it's
one
of the ones
that's been
culled.
Well, you've broken the Apple ID login, so you've obviously broken that,
broke
as well. Well done, Stephen Scott.
You can thank me later.
Breaking bridges.
breaking them, yeah, that's me. So I just wanted to mention that we've got coming up a little bit later a fantastic review of the Meta Ray-Bans. Now, we've talked a lot about the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. They are fast becoming, I think, the interest, or certainly the more interesting device for a lot of people, not just blind people. I mean, a lot of blind people are keen on this as well, don't get me wrong.
Don't care about anyone else. For the blind people, I'm drooling over this. And
unite. Blind people unite.
That's because, come on, brothers and sisters. these
stand together.
I'm sorry. For a mainstream device, these are ticking all the boxes for me, as we will find out later on. But I was blown away.
Well, in particular with these new AI features. Now, we don't have these features, but Greg Hayes, our longtime listener and good friend over in Phoenix, Arizona, he has dropped us a review of these glasses, him trying in various locations. It's quite an in-depth review, and we're going to give you a chance to hear that in full because it is really, really good. It's a great chance to learn the kind of things it can do. And as always here at Double Tap, it's from our perspective as blind people. So I just think it's brilliant. And one other thing he mentions in here, not to preempt too much, but he not only tries out the AI features, he also tries that WhatsApp video calling well. So well worth checking out. So we'll put that up on the show in the next 30 minutes or so. But also you can check all this stuff out on the website. Well worth mentioning our website, doubletaponair.com. You can go and you can check out latest articles as well. We're snipping little bits of the show as well to give you a chance to hear what we're talking about, specific elements. We talked the other day about the iPad. launch. Well, we're calling it the iPad launch. Apple has not confirmed it's an iPad event. Everyone's just decided it is. But it probably is. And we were asking, you know, are tablets useful to blind people? And I was putting forward the notion, and so were you, that, you know, it's just too much real estate. It's just too much, too big a screen to be useful to blind people, at least perhaps in the sort of pro lineup, 11-inch, 12.9. There's talk of this iPad Air coming out in 12.9-inch. And as cool as it sounds, and it does, it sounds cool. I suppose the only reason I think it's cool is if I was able to attach a keyboard to it, which I will be able to. They'll come out with a magic keyboard for it. But, you know, that's the only reason I would get interested. Because, you know, I'll be honest, look, I mean, I suppose I don't tend to get too excited about the iPad because for a long time it was just a big iPhone. But it has slightly gone its own way. And we haven't really talked much about this. The iPad OS has gone its own way. It used to just be a fork of iOS. That was pretty much all it was.
Yes.
Remember the days you used to have those where you would open up an app and there'd be a little icon in the corner, which was like times two, it was called, and you would tap on that and it would basically make the iOS app, which was the regular size, yeah, and just maximize, just zoom it in really. Which was actually cool for us because you could then see apps even better on the iPad that were made for the iPhone. But that's not like that anymore.
I used to play Minesweeper on the iPad because I could see it. It was absolutely massive. Yeah.
Around Me. That was the app I always used. First app I probably ever used on the iPhone was Around Me.
Wow, we're going back.
And that was the one I could actually see what was written on the screen, which was amazing because I could zoom into it. But yeah, I mean, look, the iPad's changed a lot. Anyway, I was talking about it and we were having this discussion and Robin Frost has put up on Mastodon. He says, thank you so much. He says, I thought I was the only one on earth who felt this way. The iPad was always just too much real estate for my brain to enjoy the experience. Give me the power of Pro in the mini form factor, then maybe I'll be interested. Thank you for a fun listen. Well, thank you, Robin. But actually, that's interesting, right? Because the iPhone mini is dead. It would appear it is dead, which I still think is a shame, a massive shame. I'd love to see the iPhone mini come back. And in a pro version, I mean, I somehow doubt that's ever going to happen.
Hang on.
I'd kind of like to see it come back as a
iPad mini pro.
A SE. An iPhone mini pro.
iPhone mini pro? What even is that? Now we're just putting all the names together. iPhone mini pro SE
no,
Max.
No, just... Well, the thing, I got a bit confused with this. We had a bit of a back and forward with Robin on this because I thought he was talking about the iPad mini at first. But he was talking about the iPhone mini and he was saying, if I could get all the sort of pro functionality in that form factor in an even smaller device,
yes,
that would be interesting. I'm with you on that, actually. Because again, for us, it doesn't matter. Size of the screen is irrelevant. Smaller, lighter, the better.
Yes, I totally agree. But like we were talking about before, like a tablet is a great option for low vision users. I used it for years. It was a great option for consuming content. But you mentioned the OS. Now it has diverged, right? It's forked off from just being iOS in a bigger screen. It's now iPad OS. But those extra features, although they may be technically accessible, do they add anything for us? Do they actually make a difference to a screen reader user than you would with an iPhone? That's always the sticky point, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's always the question. How useful, how good is the experience? Look, I can't say too much because my last experience wasn't brilliant with the iPad. You might remember I talked about this, that I felt there was quite a difference between iPad voiceover experience versus an iPhone voiceover experience. But I think that's changed. My sort of dabbling in the last year or so has certainly told me it's changed a little bit, but I haven't played enough to know. I would imagine a lot of that's been fixed. You don't hear a lot, though. You don't hear a lot about iPad and voiceover.
And plus, you get used to it.
Discussion.
I mean, the big thing with the iPad was that sort of column view, right? In settings, you would have a column on your left and then the options on your right, if I remember correctly. Maybe the same with messages or whatever it may be. And it was a little bit disorientating if you're used to your iPhone where everything's just basically in a straight up and down list, right? Now you've got a column over here. But you soon get used to that if you're using that layout you'll get used to it. You'll know it's over there. There was, I remember when I was using the iPad, and when the entering a PIN would come up, instead of being in the bottom of the screen, it could be anywhere. It could be anywhere on the screen where you were entering it into that text field. And that took me a while to get used to. So, but like anything, you do get used to it. I just, like anyone else, I just think, I don't know what extra I'm getting from this versus just my iPhone. Going back to the, you know, I want an iPhone mini with the power. Exactly right. I want an iPhone mini with the battery life. That would be and great Robin, for me.
Robin definitely wants the iPad mini Pro as well. He wants that Pro functionality in that form factor as well, which is really interesting. And again, you know, I don't think that's likely to happen because Pro always seems to be classed as bigger. And I think there's reasons for that. I think it's because they include the keyboard. The Mini tends to have more of a leisure feel about it. It is much more the kind of kid's device, I guess, the one you would buy your mum or your dad. I could see my mum. My mum would love the iPad Mini. You know, she's got an iPad Air at the moment, which is fine. I think the one she's got, is it an iPad Air? It might be the, I think it might just be the actual regular iPad. There's so many different brands. We were talking about this as well.
I get confused.
But the one with the Touch ID, I think it's the 9th generation, is the last one that had the Touch ID. And I almost felt like I have to stockpile them for her because she just doesn't like the Touch ID being into the top. She doesn't really understand the Face ID thing.
Mm.
So, you know, she's struggling with all that. And it's funny because people say, oh, just get used to it. But it is, if it's not your thing, if you're struggling with it, but you want to use the device, it can be challenging. And it kind of makes me feel like Apple do need to have, you know, a couple of different options. Maybe even the Touch ID in the screen would be good in the future.
That's
you know,
got to happen, right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
I think so. I mean, just as a belt and braces approach, right? Face ID and a fingerprint scanner for maybe that could just be a pro feature for people who are hyper paranoid. I mean, it's got to be more secure to have both two-step verification with a fingerprint and Face ID.
Errol says, I love my iPad Pro. I've got a 2018 11-inch. Eventually, I will upgrade. Between the phone and the iPad, I rarely use a computer. The iPad and phone fill most of my computer needs. I can't even remember the last time I turned on my computer. Now, that is interesting because I think that's the first time, Errol, I've heard this for a long time from someone saying, I don't even bother with a computer. And it does beg the question, what kind of things people are doing on it. So I asked Errol, I went back to Errol on this, and I said, what is it you're doing on it that makes you want to use it? He said, well, I like to use the iPad to watch movies and TV. It's good for web browsing because it allows you to use the desktop website instead of the mobile version.
True.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that I can have two apps on my screen at the same time. It's also my preferred way to check email. It's nice to have the list of email messages on the left and my message content on the right. He says there's probably many other things I like to do with it, but those are the ones I'm thinking of right now. The desktop website thing's interesting because you often have to go off and try and find that if you can, you know, get the desktop version to show up.
I believe you can you force it to go to desktop version every time, but it's not always the best option. On your iPhone, I mean, you can force it to do that.
Yeah, kind of thing. I wonder about it. I mean, again, it depends on the user. It's always dependent on the use case. Would I recommend an iPad to someone instead of a computer? I don't know if I would. But it depends on what you're doing. If it's basic web browsing, if it's documents, if it's email, it might be more than enough for most people.
But yeah,
especially because of the keyboard.
Absolutely.
For us anyway, the keyboard is the key. And having the one device, which is almost tablet come computer. So it is a laptop. We're kind of making it into a laptop. But, you know, you've got portability. You've got, I mean, and aside the fact anything else, you can take it off and use it as a tablet, which you will do with an iPad. You wouldn't necessarily do that with a Surface.
No, that's true. Yeah, they're just a little bit too heavy. We haven't quite got there yet. Absolutely. But the important thing we're overlooking, we're talking about use case, and you're absolutely right. For a long time, I would just use my smartphone rather than the computer because I was just web browsing and doing emails, right? But if you're doing anything else, audio editing or whatever, then obviously you need that computer again, I would say. But the important thing there is that I'm guessing Errol is low vision rather than a screen reader user or, you know, can't take any advantage of the screen at all. And again, we're back to the same argument as if you can't see the screen, what's the difference between using an iPad and using an iPhone? Or even for that matter, using an Android tablet and an Android phone.
That's, oh, come on. You know,
unbelievable.
Let's get real. But no, look, when it comes to the idea is the same. Yes, that's right. I mean, look, an Android phone, I get it. An Android tablet. I think even Android tablets must get together some nights and say, why are we even here? Nobody knows the answer to that. They just seem to exist in the ether for some reason.
Stephen Scott, building bridges. Stop it.
Don't get the point. Even Google are like, we built it, we don't really know why.
There's no difference between that and the iPad and an Android tablet at all. You've still got the same sort of apps on your Android tablet that you have on your Android phone. And it's what is the difference? Why do you want that larger screen? It's purely for consuming content.
Get in touch with us. If you're using an Android tablet every day, or at some point, even if you're just using it sparingly,
if you
chose it over an iPad, I'd love to hear from you, because I'd love to understand what the benefits are for you. And I get it. I mean, it's similar in so many different ways, but yeah. from an outside our bubble point of view, I get it. Right? People look at it. I mean,
it's
and
more
the
affordable.
Price is not that much.
No, it's more.
He keeps saying this, but it's
how many Amazon Fire tablets have you got?
Well, you really want to go there?
Yes, I do. How many Amazon Fire tablets have you got?
Probably one at the moment.
At the moment, okay. I think I've had at least three.
Oh yeah, and how well used are they?
Yeah, not at all, not at all. That's not the point.
So what's your point?
I mean, I could have three iPads and they would be just as used as the Android tablets. My point is that they are very accessible from a financial point of view compared to an iPad. They just are. You can pick up an Android tablet for under $100.
Yeah, no, of course you can pick up anything for less than $100.
Nothing
if you really
from
want
Apple.
To. I mean, Do you always remember, well, if you really want to, you probably could. If you head to Amazon and go to the refurbished, I'm sure you could pick something up. I mean, you can pick up an iPhone for about $150 if you really wanted to.
Okay.
It is doable. It's just, you know, you're going to get what you get for that money. I mean, look, I remember buying that Chromebook for $99. And even Google said to me, please don't use that. Use something else. Google Pixel book, I think it was at the time.
Actually, that is a good
point. They
were
just like, actually, we don't recommend you use that for... It's, and, you know, again, we're adding that screen reader to it. So we are really showcasing the capability of it. We're stretching the capability of it,
we're
perhaps.
We're pushing
it.
Do you remember the Windows Lynx tablets? I think you got one as well.
Oh, God, they were dreadful.
As soon as you turned on Narrator, even, it was, okay, this is unusable.
It was just, it couldn't even... I almost expected the voice to go... Go buy something decent.
But it was $100. So it's like, oh, I'll give it a go. Can't use it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I will say, though, this new Surface Laptop 6 that's rumored, and not just this, of course, the new Surface, what was it called now? Surface Pro. What do we call that one? The one with the thing, the kickstand?
The one with the
Surface
thing.
Pro, right?
Surface Pro, yes.
Yeah. It's going to have processors that will rival the MacBook Pro, specifically the Surface Laptop 6. Will rival the MacBook Pro with M3 and M3 Pro, apparently, in a new benchmark leak. It's going to have the Snapdragon X Elite processor in there.
ARM.
I've got to say, I am quite excited about this. There's an event happening on May 20th. We will not be here, so we'll talk about it when we get back. It's all happening when we're away, you know.
I know.
May 20th, Microsoft are expected to unveil the ARM-powered Surface Laptop and Surface Pro. I wonder if they'll make a nod back to the Surface,
Surface Laptop X,
or what was it called? Surface X, laptop ever made.
Yes, but why? I mean, hardware-wise, it was a beauty. It was a lovely little thing. It was absolutely gorgeous.
The processor
or the software, and that's the whole thing with this. I don't know how much is down to this new Snapdragon X Elite processor or the work that they've done in the software on Microsoft's side. It's all about being able to emulate the old software.
Look, whatever happens with it, the key is to reduce heat and also to extend battery life. Those are the two things
that
I think
point
most
of ARM.
PC users want, right? Yeah. That's exactly what they want. They want the ability to get the kind of light, fanless design that can run all day, you know, that the MacBooks offer. These new MacBook Airs, even the Pros, if you want the fanless, you're going to go for the MacBook Air. If you're looking at something like that, the power in it, the capability in it, and the silence, the lack of heat, the all-day battery life. I mean, it works. It's just brilliant. It works 100%.
Yes.
And it is absolutely fantastic. In a PC, that would be amazing.
Well, you just mentioned the Surface, not using it as a tablet. You're absolutely right. Now, if you stick an ARM processor in there, much smaller, much thinner, much sexier, you would actually use that as a tablet.
I don't know if I'd use it as a tablet, because I don't think Windows is up to it as a tablet experience.
That's a different...
I don't think they've quite got that right.
Maybe.
But I definitely think, I mean, look, I know that there's talk of Lenovo. We've just published an interview with Lenovo just this weekend. And there was the rumor, of course, that came out that there's a new Lenovo laptop coming. I did ask this question. I was asked not to ask that question. So we moved on swiftly. I'm guessing the answer is yes.
Yes.
Clearly we're going to see more ARM processors being built into more devices. And there's lots of ones rumored, actually. I think it's not just Lenovo, of course, Microsoft. I think Dell might even have one on the go as well.
I hope this happens.
Announcing this year.
I hope this isn't just all spin and PR. It does feel like we finally hit that point where we could be ready for that shift. And it's going to be a big shift, but it feels like it's about time.
Yeah, I agree. Well, look, stick around. We're going to talk about Meta Ray-Ban glasses next. Our wonderful listener, Greg, in Phoenix, Arizona, is here next to tell us all about the Meta Ray-Bans and show us some of the features, the AI features, and that WhatsApp video calling. It's all on the way, I know. Exciting.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us feedback@doubletaponair.com.
And time now to hear from Greg in Phoenix, Arizona, good friend of the show, Greg Hayes. And he is back today with another demo. This time, we've talked about HomePods with him. We've talked about driverless cars. Now he's going to walk us through some of the cool new AI features built into the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. They got a big update. We'll talk about the update in just a moment in terms of the physical glasses. But here is how some of the AI features work. And also that WhatsApp video calling and what that could mean for us. Greg, over to you.
Hello, Double Tappers. This is Greg from Phoenix, and I just got myself a pair of Ray-Ban Meta Wayfair smart glasses. I've had them for a couple days, and I'm really excited, so I thought I'd do a demo. Now, you know, Steven has been sporting a pair of these for a few weeks now, and he's told us a bit about them. I'm doing this demo because since I live in the United States, I'm able to get the AI feature that is in beta here and in Canada, but unfortunately is not available to Steven yet in the UK. So before I go into the demo, I'll give you a quick description. Again, these are the Ray-Ban Wayfair model that I got in black. My wife tells me they look pretty much exactly like the Wayfairs that have been out for decades now. We just learned a couple days ago that there are new models and colors offered by Ray-Ban. So if you don't want the classic black Wayfairs, you have many options. The only difference that she can see is on the front of these, in the upper right and left corners, above the lenses and near the hinge, there are a couple circles. These circles are somewhere around an eighth of an inch, maybe 3 or 4 millimeters. One of them on my left, when I'm wearing them, is the camera. And on the right, there is a LED light in the circle that tells you whether the camera is in use or not. So you can't record people or take pictures of them, supposedly without them being able to see that you're doing that. Other than that, they look the same. On the left arm, and yes, I said arm, not leg, Stephen. On the left arm, on the inside, near the hinge, there is a on-off switch that you push back and forth. On the right arm, near the front, near the lenses, There is a button on the top of the arm. The button is called the capture button, and you click it once to take a picture, click it twice to take a video, and the video can be up to 60 seconds long. The orientation of the picture is portrait mode, if you will, on your camera, which apparently is what is preferred in social media these days. I'm an old guy, so in the old days, we used to always take pictures that were more landscape mode, but these are the Meta Ray-Ban glasses, and they are made for social media, so they went with that. Also on the right arm, there is a touchscreen. The touchscreen is used to turn volume up and down, to invoke commands if you don't want to say the keyword, and other things like that. There are speakers built in. They sound pretty darn good. I wouldn't say they're as good as putting in a pair of AirPods Pro or a nice pair of headphones, but I think they are easily as good as some of the other sunglasses, if not better, that we've talked about over the years. And of course, there's microphones built in as well. So that's the description. When I did setup, it was accessible. I had to link it to a Meta account. In my case, I used Facebook. I think the other Meta account type that you could use is Instagram. And you also can tie it in with WhatsApp. All those are Meta products. You can also tie these in with Spotify and Apple Music. Okay, so now I'm going to do some demonstrations of AI with these smart glasses. I'll start with the basics. Hey Meta, what time is it?
It's 10:40 a.m.
Hey Meta, what's the weather in Phoenix today?
Today in Phoenix, Arizona, it's mostly sunny with temperatures between 70 degrees Fahrenheit and 79 degrees Fahrenheit and 0% chance of precipitation.
Hey Meta, who is the Prime Minister of Canada?
The Prime Minister of Canada is Justin Trudeau, who took office on November 4, 2015, and is still serving in that position.
All right. So it does a pretty good job with the basics, at least as good as Siri and the A-Lady in those requests. I'm going to pick up a menu, and I'm going to hold it in front of my face and say, hey Meta, what am I looking at?
You are looking at a menu for Paradise Valley Burger.
Hey Meta, besides burgers on this menu, what else can I get?
Besides burgers, you can get salads, sandwiches, pulled pork, and sides like fries.
Hey Meta, does this menu have milkshakes?
Yes, the menu does have milkshakes. They offer vanilla and chocolate flavors.
Wonderful. Okay. Now I've got a couple things out of my pantry. Hey Meta, what am I looking at?
You are looking at a box of Cap'n Crunch cereal.
Hey Meta, what's the nutrition information for this product?
Cap'n Crunch cereal contains 10 grams of sugar and 28 grams whole grain per serving.
All right. So I am a 57-year-old man who obviously has the tastes of about a 7-year-old boy, but I'll try something else. Hey Meta, what am I looking at?
You are looking at a can of dog food.
Okay. So as you can tell, this can do product recognition and you can ask it more questions. So I'm pretty happy with that. Next, I'm going to go outside. All right, so I took a walk and I ended up at a strip mall. So I'm going to say, hey Meta, what am I looking at?
You are looking at a shopping center with various stores.
Hey Meta, what are the names of the stores in the picture?
The stores in the picture are Sabas M, goat haircuts and hot works.
Hey, Meta. Where is Sabas in relation to the picture?
Sabasam is located to the left of goat haircuts.
Okay, so now I can go get something to eat. All right, so I've made it in, and I'm at one of the aisles. I'm going to say, hey, Meta, what am I looking at?
You are looking at a grocery store's beverage section.
Excellent. Okay, so, hey, Meta, what am I looking at now?
You are looking at a shelf of various bottles, including wine and champagne.
Hey, Meta. What am I looking at now?
You are looking at a bottle of Rufino Prosecco.
And there you go. So all I did there was look down the aisle, ask for a picture, then I turned my head and looked at the counter, asked for another picture, and then I picked up a bottle and asked for another picture. You can see that it's really fast, and again, my hands are free to do all this. Okay, so what's the problem that we always have? We can get places, but it's that last 10 yards. So I've got an answer with the Meta Ray-Ban glasses that I like using WhatsApp. I'm going to call my wife with a video call and get her help. So let's try that out. Hey, Meta. Make a video call to Sharon Hayes with WhatsApp.
Calling Sharon Hayes on WhatsApp. To cancel, say stop.
Hello.
Hi, Sharon. Hey, I'm at KFC and I can't find the door. Think you can help me out?
Of course I can.
Okay, I'm going to press my button on my glasses and hopefully you're going to see some video.
Glasses camera is active.
All right, and I think you have to press the second button. You have to switch to video, right?
Exactly.
And can you see
them? Good, I can see. Yes, I can.
All right, so I'm in the parking lot somewhere, but I can't find the door. Can you help me get there?
Yes, and you are getting ready to cross into an area that is the path of cars going through the drive-thru.
Okay.
So just be careful. You're heading right through the door.
Oh, really? Cool. Okay. Now.
There's going to be a step soon.
Found it with the cane. Cool. Is that the door?
You're at the door.
All right. So can you help me get to the front?
You're
to
there.
Order? Where do I order? I'm already there. Nice. Hey, thanks for your help. So I'm back inside and happy to be out of the wind. Sorry about all that noise. Not a whole lot I could do. I'm also sorry that once I got into KFC, I stopped recording. I figured I'd better do this because if I started ordering and then got the food and had my wife describe it to you, I think poor Sean and Stephen would just be in misery and very hungry. Then you might never get this recording. So that's why I stopped. Overall, I am really pleased with these glasses. They look good, supposedly. I can't tell, but my wife says they look good. They're on my head so that when I'm moving my head and looking at things and taking pictures or asking the AI what it sees, I don't have to use my hands to do all this. It's all voice command. It's only $300. Let's see. It takes pictures. It takes videos. You can listen to music. You can send those pictures to Facebook or through WhatsApp to your friends. You can do a video call like I just showed you. All the AI features are great. Are the AI features as good as Iris AI or Be My Eyes AI? Maybe not. But is it darn good enough? Absolutely. This AI is a shorter description You have to ask it more questions to get as many details as you might through some of those other programs. But again, this wasn't made for us blind folks like those other tools are. So you have to give and take a little bit. What would be absolutely ideal is if Meta would open up an API to allow Aira and Be My Eyes so that we could get the volunteers or the professionals to be looking through our camera glasses and not necessarily having to use WhatsApp to call a friend. If they did that, maybe we could also use their AI, and then we'd have the best of all worlds. I don't think Meta will ever open up the API to the mainstream apps, certainly not their competitors in social media, but I think it is conceivable that we might be able to get them to open up to organizations serving the blind, because this is such a great tool for us. I'm really, really happy with it, again, for the price and what it does. It's great. I am worried for the other specialist smart glasses that are out there being built for the blind community, because most of the things that they can do, I can do with this for $300 and never have to pay another fee. So there you go. By the way, you might recall I also almost got the Humane AI pin. I am so happy I didn't get that. This is doing me so much more for much more than less half the price and no annual or monthly fee. So I dodged a bullet there. I hope you enjoyed this review, and we'll see you again sometime. Bye.
Thank you, Greg. I am salivating over my KFC that thankfully you didn't audio describe. I'm quite glad about
He's
that.
He's quite right, yes.
I had to leave the studio now.
I'm salivating just by these glasses. I am blown away.
So good, right? So, so good. And I am so jealous, Greg, that you've got all these AI features to play with and, you know, get the chance to try. And, you know, you're absolutely right, because the WhatsApp video calling feature, as much as I love all the AI stuff, and I do, that is the one that excites me for all the reasons it excites you, because you're thinking about Be My Eyes, you're thinking about Aira, you're thinking, finally, we can get this connection going. He also makes a really interesting point, and he doesn't name them, but he says, well, there are other companies out there making specialist devices, and what is the future going to be for them?
Yes.
If this really takes off? And you know what? I think that's part of the deal, unfortunately. That's part of the way this business works. It's part of how business operates, right? That, you know, something's going to come along. I have to say, as much as I hate saying this, I really do, but a lot of people don't like Meta. A lot of people don't like Facebook. A lot of people don't really like what these companies do. And we all talk about how much we hate social media. But at the end of the day, products have got to have the chance to survive in the mainstream for us to have the chance to, you know, get the benefit to this long term. And with the best will in the world, these specialist companies that are coming along, especially anyone that's coming along with a very expensive product, would the smart move would be to create a service that could sit on that device and move away from their own device. And let's just say it. Let's just say Envision. If you're listening to this, the smart money here, and look, I don't doubt for a second they've got this in their mind as well. I think they actually said to us on the interview recently, they're in talks with Meta. They should be. Because if you were saying to me, you can get all the functionality of Envision for a small cost, as opposed to a huge cost to buy the Google Glass or whatever the next iteration of that might be, you can instead get it through your Meta Ray-Bans. I'm in. I'm in.
Yes.
Be My Eyes, Aira. All these products become apps. I said this to Orcam years ago. I said, what's going to happen when, you know, a mainstream manufacturer comes along, builds all this capability into a pair of glasses? And they're like, well, I said, you're going to have to build an app. You're going to have to turn it into the Orcam app. And if you're not thinking that now, and I said this to them about 10 years ago, if you're not thinking that now, what is going on? Because that's where we're heading. And it kind of has to be that way. Because look, what Meta are starting to do here, whether they intended it or not, but they're definitely doing it with VR, and I think they're going to do this with these glasses as well, is they are building a platform that they want others to develop onto. They are building the next iPhone, basically.
Do you
think? They're building a wearable iPhone. Well, in the sense of they're building a platform developers can build onto. I know Greg doesn't necessarily think that. He thinks that some of the third parties won't necessarily get on there, some of the competition. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not convinced
either. I don't know where we're going with this. I don't think Meta know where they're going with this yet. Not fully. I think they're still feeling their way with this one. I think they're still surprised by the excitement about this.
Do you know what? I kind of wish that Meta or someone at Meta would listen to that and listen to this, how excited we are and what a difference this could make. I'm still not convinced they know what they've got and what a difference it can make to us. I honestly, the responsiveness of that and the, you know, voice control, how quickly it heard every time.
Quality of voice.
It was really impressive. Now, I did have to adjust the audio there because it was recorded outside. There was a lot of wind noise, as Greg said there. So sometimes the voice from Meta sounded a little bit garbled, but that was because of the editing process, so you could actually hear it in that recording. It was perfectly clear. You know, on device. The voice was great, I've got to say. And I didn't do any editing to the time. I didn't cut down any pauses in between, you know, him asking a question and getting the response. That was all real time. And when you can compare it to anything else, that was solid. That was so
good. I thought you'd cut that down. I thought you'd trimmed that down.
No, well, I'm always cautious and conscious of that because you want to know if that response, because when it comes to using it yourself and you're waiting 10 seconds to get an answer, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. So anything like that where I'm getting a response from, I want to keep it real time. I don't want to almost, you know, sort of show it in a better light. Let's show it how it actually is. But yeah, I'm absolutely blown away. And let's be fair, those other companies must be thinking, what do we do next? And it's kind of unfair because Facebook or Meta don't need to charge a subscription to that because they've got their revenue stream coming from advertising of their social media behemoth, right? They don't have to worry about that. They can fund this. You can almost sustain it from their main business. Other companies can't. That's why there may have to be a subscription for other companies. But I am so excited by these. These seem almost like we're there to the holy grail of wearable glasses.
Yeah, I'm very excited about them. And I love that they're bringing out new designs. It's interesting that they brought out the new designs ahead of the Meta Connect event. So the new range is called Skylar. There are two types now you can get. One is the traditional Wayfarer. That's what Greg's got there.
Yeah.
You get Wayfarer, and those are the more traditional boxy design. From my understanding, the newer Skylar design, it doesn't, from all accounts, it's not that much different, but you've got more colours, for sure. You get that pink, if you want that, and there's lots of other colours. My wife is continually telling me about the pink ones. And, you know, but that's the point, right? Ray-Ban are about fashion, and it's combining the two. I think this is where they've got it right. If Meta had turned around and said, we're going to build a pair of glasses, you know, we'd have got what Google came up with Google Glass. You know, Google Glass technology was incredible. When you try Google Glass, especially if you try InVision glasses, you're kind of blown away at how good they are, especially considering how old the technology inside them is. It's still pretty impressive. The problem was the form factor. The form factor was not good. It was not a nice...
I was quite shocked when I first tried them on. I thought, hang on, have I got half a pair of glasses here? Well, I've got one arm, which is like a big, thick piece of tech, and the other arm's just a wire frame. I thought this is just like a prototype, but no, that's actually how they are. So an actual pair of Ray-Bans.
And they cost thousands of pounds or thousands of dollars, right? So
yeah.
These, much more affordable. I mean, I say affordable. I mean, of course, it's an expensive pair of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose if you're into your sunglasses, you'll probably pay a decent amount anyway. I certainly, and
$10.
You've tried them. Yeah. Well, look, we've bought the cheap audio sunglasses, right? And we know what they feel like.
Yeah.
And you put these on and you feel the difference.
They are quality.
You know, we all remember when Bose came out with theirs and we all thought, oh, this is going to be amazing. And then we felt the quality and thought, really? Wow. No. And it's a shame because this is kind of where Bose were back in, you know, 2019, 2020.
This is where Bose could have been. Yeah.
Yeah. But it just didn't, it didn't have it. Now, I don't know if that's because they didn't have the camera. We, at the time, we thought, well, a camera would be something that would put people off, but it doesn't seem to be doing that anymore. And I think it's because this particular product has launched at the right time. People don't care as much about that anymore.
There's still a danger here. I mean, we're getting all excited, but how's the mainstream taking these glasses?
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, look, I think long term there's going to be a lot of discussion about this. I mean, who was it that asked the question? I can't remember now who asked the question of us. You know, what do you do with these when you go into a... I think it was Peter had asked the question. If you go into a public bathroom, do you take them off before you go in? It didn't even occur to me that would be a thing. But of course, you're wearing a camera on your face.
Yeah.
You go into a public bathroom? Yeah, you probably don't want to be wearing them. So what do I do in that situation? Would a blind person be treated differently?
Yes.
There in
thankfully.
That environment compared to... Well, I think, yeah, we probably would be. I don't think we'd even be considered.
Yeah.
Well, people aren't looking at our sunglasses, right? They're looking at our canes or they're looking at the guide dog or, you know, whatever.
They try not to look at us at all, I would hope. That's exactly. How it usually works. So, but yes, you would put them on top of your head, right? You wouldn't... Yeah, I don't know. But I'm still excited by them.
Listen, tell you what, let's talk about this more tomorrow. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll continue this conversation. Keep your feedback coming as well. We'll catch you then. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Juita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.